Please open your Bibles to Luke, the sixth chapter. I'll be reading verses 39 and 40 on the red pewback Bibles. That's on page 863. Luke 6, verses 39 and 40. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher.
Tomorrow night, we are going to be hosting Jabberwacky, which is an area-wide summer youth series for those who are uninitiated. I don't know why they call it Jabberwacky. That's just what they've called it since I've been around, and it was called that a long time before that. But whatever, we're going to have about 200 to 250 young people from all over the Houston area here in our auditorium, and then we're going to feed them a meal after we have a period of singing and a lesson from God's Word. You are more than welcome to come and to attend if you'd like to. It's a great experience to hear the young voices singing together and to praise God together. And so it'll be at 7 p.m. tomorrow night here in the auditorium. And then afterwards, over in the fellowship hall in the OFC, we'll be providing a meal. With that said, we need some able-bodied young people and older people, if you are also able-bodied, to go over to the OFC after services this evening. We need to put up every table we have, basically, because 250 young people, that's going to take just about everything we've got as far as chairs and tables are concerned. So if you don't mind, just after services, just make your way over there. It shouldn't take too long, and we'll get all that taken care of. But It's a great event. It's a great time together. It rotates around, as you can imagine, Summer Youth Series. And so tomorrow night, Monday night, it just happens to be our night here at Katy. Thank you so much for everybody who's provided and who has agreed to prepare food for this and to serve and to help. Thank you so much for what you've done and what you're continuing to do. Open your Bibles, if you haven't already done so, to Luke chapter 6. For the next several weeks on Sunday nights, we're going to be talking about songs that we have learned in Kids Sing. I thought, we've learned a bunch of verses, we've learned a bunch of passages, why not preach on some of these passages? And so tonight we're going to preach about Luke chapter 6, verse 40. I thought that would be a good one to start with. Luke 6, verses 39 and 40. Luke 6, 40 in the ESV reads like this: A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. If you will indulge me, let's sing the song that we've learned in Kids Sing. It's not 100% in agreement with the ESV, it's the New King James that we've learned. But here we go. Ready? A disciple is not, a disciple is not, a disciple is not above his teacher. But one who is perfect, one who is perfect, one who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Luke 6, verse 40. Thank you very much. Interestingly enough, when you read verse 39, it's kind of a negative reason why Jesus is saying this. In verse 39, Jesus says, if a blind man leads a blind person, both will fall into the ditch. And what his point is be careful who you follow, because if you're following somebody that doesn't know where they're going and can't see where they're going, you're going to end up in a bad place. That's his point. And that's why he says a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who's fully trained will be like his teacher. You're not going to end up in a better place than the person you're following. That's the point that the Lord's making. With all that in mind, let's talk about what it means to follow Jesus. He's talking about discipleship here. In the first place, what does it mean to be someone's disciple? The Greek word is mathetes. It's found some 268 times in your New Testament, the word for disciple. And the word, by definition, means a learner, a follower, a student, or an understudy. So, if there were somebody here in Katy that was just a master craftsman when it came to woodworking, and you decided that you wanted to become a master craftsman woodworker, you could go and you could ask this individual, can I follow you? Can I learn from you? Can you teach me what you know? And maybe that master craftsman would agree to let you come and learn from him. But he can't teach you what he knows in a hurry. It's going to take time. You will have to become a disciple of that master craftsman. You're going to to have to spend a lot of time with that master craftsman. And if you spend enough time and learn enough and work with him enough, then you will become like your teacher. That's the concept, that's the idea of discipleship, brothers and sisters. Jesus wants everybody to be his disciples. He wants us to come to him, and the things we learn from him, you can't just learn in a big, fast hurry. You can't become like Jesus at warp speed. It just doesn't work that way. And that's why a disciple needs to continue with his teacher. When you look at the New Testament, there were a lot of people that had disciples. In the New Testament, the Bible says John the Baptist had disciples, Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. People that went to John out in the wilderness and listened to him preach, they followed him. They listened to his teaching. They listened to what he had to say. Not only did John the Baptist have disciples, but the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were known as holy men. They had spent their time studying the law and knowing what it said, and they'd made a lot of rules about what it means to be holy. And people would come to the Pharisees and they'd say, I want to be holy like you guys are. I want to learn from you. And so that's why Jesus is saying, be careful about who you follow, because you may not want to end up where the Pharisees are going to end up in some things. Moses, in John 9, verse 28, when Jesus was talking about people wanting to become his disciples, the Pharisees said, we are Moses' disciples. We follow him. We've listened to him. We learned from him, even though Moses had been dead for centuries. These men were still trying to follow the teachings and the customs that came from Moses. At least that's their claim. And again, Jesus calls people to be his disciples. Interestingly, at one point in John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, Jesus said some things about discipleship, and he said some things about eating his flesh and drinking his blood that caused his disciples to turn back and to follow him no more. They said, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who can endure it? And they turned around and they walked away. They stopped following Jesus there in John chapter 6, but they had been with him and they had been following. He wants you to follow him. He has every good reason for, and you have every good reason to follow him. In Acts 18, verse 23, the early Christians, the early church, one of the ways they were known is that they were the disciples of Christ. That's what they called themselves. You know, out there on our sign, we have Church of Christ meets here. That's what it says out on the brick sign and the one over here. And we want people to know that the Church of Christ, that the people that belong to Jesus, we're the ones who meet here. But we could call ourselves biblically some other things. Church of Christ is found in Romans 16, 16. We also find that they called themselves in the first century the Church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. We also find in Acts 18, 23, that they call themselves the disciples of Christ. All that is out there on the sign, that's just a designation of our relationship to Jesus, our designation of who we are. We belong to Christ, therefore we are his church. Or we belong to God, therefore we're the church of God. We could put that on the sign if we wanted to. Disciples of Christ meet here. We could put that on the sign as well. But that's how they were known. We're the disciples. We're the followers. We're the people that are serving and loving and following and walking behind Jesus. The meaning of discipleship. A disciple is a learner, a follower, a student, an understudy. Continuing with this thought about what it means to be a disciple. Discipleship, brothers and sisters, is a personal decision that must be made in everybody's life. Nobody can follow Jesus for you. You must decide that you are going to follow him. Nobody else can make that choice. Young people, your parents can bring you to church services, but they can't make you into disciples. Older folks, other people can invite us to worship, other people can invite us to church services, but nobody can make you a disciple. You must decide this is something you want. You want to follow Jesus. Mark 1, 17 and 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he called Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. In making this personal decision to follow Jesus, there's always something that must be left behind. There's always something that must be abandoned so that we can cling to Jesus and follow him and walk with him. It's a personal decision. We also, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, must have a teachable spirit. By definition, a disciple is a learner. And so if you get in your mind that you've got all the answers, you've got all the solutions, all the questions of life you can answer, all the biblical questions that need to be answered, you've got those in your head, and you become kind of a know-it-all, you're not going to be a very good disciple. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. We must have a teachable spirit all our lives if we would be disciples. Not only that, a disciple must have a perpetual commitment. I'm not going to walk with Jesus just a little while. I'm going to walk with him every day. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Luke 9, verse 23. A disciple leads, a disciple ends up having meaningful transformation in their lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you know when you're doing discipleship right? The answer is found in many places in Scripture, including Romans 12. You're doing discipleship right when you don't think the way you used to think, and you don't speak the way you used to speak, and you don't live the way you used to live, because Jesus is teaching you through his word. He's teaching you through his commandments in the New Testament. He's teaching you a better way, a higher way, a nobler way, his way. Meaningful transformation happens in the life of someone who is truly following Jesus. Which leads to a really important question. Everybody listen. If we're not being transformed, if we're not being changed to be more like Jesus, like right now, today, if that's not happening, are we really following Jesus? Is discipleship really happening in my life? If there's nothing really different this year than there was last year, if there's no growth that's taken place in areas like my patience with people or my kindness toward others or the way I love my neighbor, if I'm not growing in areas like that and many more, am I really following him? Notice, secondly, disciple is not above his teacher. We've talked about what a disciple means. The word disciple, it means a follower, learner, and understudy. Notice in Luke 6, verse 40, recall the song, a disciple is not above his teacher. He's not higher than his teacher. And the implication of that statement is vast. It's profound. We will never be above Jesus. We're not going to be better than him, and we're not going to end up in a different place than he does if we're truly following him. But we're never going to be above Jesus. Listen up. We're never going to be above Jesus in our concern for souls. You may care about souls. I hope that you do. We need an evangelistic spirit. We need to have a desire and a zeal to save people who are lost. But you're never going to have more concern for souls than Jesus does. You may have family members who are walking astray. You will never love your family members more than Jesus does. You can take that and put it in the bank. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How bad does Jesus want to save souls? How concerned is he? He went all the way to the cross and willingly gave himself for those who were lost. Nobody else has ever done that or will ever be able to do that. Jesus, we're not going to outdo him in concern for souls. We're not going to be better than Jesus in our ability to teach. No matter how eloquent, no matter how studied, no matter how well prepared you might be in teaching someone the gospel, you're never going to do it better than Jesus. John 7:46, no one ever spoke like this. It's instructive for those of us who preach and teach and those of us who try to teach others the gospel. It's instructive to look at the times when people walked away from Jesus. The times when he taught the truth and people said, we don't want to hear this, and they turned and they went another way. It happened to him multiple times in his life. Not just individuals like the rich young ruler, but crowds like what we just talked about in John chapter 6. You're not going to be a better teacher than Jesus. And you're not going to be able to help people and instruct people better than he does. A disciple is not above his teacher. A disciple is not going to be better than Jesus in holy living. You can't be more holy than Jesus is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 speaks about how Jesus was sinless, how he committed no sin, neither was there guile or deceit found in his mouth. You're never going to live a more holy life than Jesus did. We're never going to be above Jesus in expressing love. I want people around me to know I care about them, that I love them. Based on the relationships I have with people around me, I want them to know I'm concerned about them, but I will never be like Jesus 100% in expressing love to people. The scripture says that Jesus loved like nobody else. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, God manifests his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it would humble us to stop every once in a while and to think in our evangelistic endeavors and our concern for souls and our desire to love and to teach people, it would humble us in a good way to stop and remember, I'm not above my teacher, and I never will be. I can't do evangelism better than Jesus does, and I can't love people better than Jesus loves them. And I'm not going to be better than Jesus in holy living. I want to be like my teacher. I don't want to try to outdo him because it's not possible to do. A disciple is not above his teacher. Third, think about the goal of discipleship. One who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You go and work with that master woodworker and you spend years and years learning from him, you're going to turn out like that person. Whatever quirks, whatever skills, whatever abilities he has, you're going to pick some of those up yourself. That's just what happens when you follow a teacher. And so what's the goal of discipleship? When he's fully trained, he'll be like his teacher. Romans 8:29 says that Christians, as they spend time with Jesus, are conformed to the image of God's Son. That means we become more like Christ. That's the goal. That's the purpose of your life as a Christian. I want to be like Jesus. Colossians 1:27, Paul's preaching and teaching and warning and instructing every man in all wisdom so that he can form Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does Paul want from his ministry? He wants people to be like Jesus. Acts 4:13. They looked at the men, Peter and John, and they understood that they were untrained and uneducated, but they realized that these men had been with Jesus. How did they realize that? By the way that they spoke, by the miracle that they were able to do on that occasion, by the spirit that they had, the attitude and the demeanor and the way that they were dealing with the situation at hand. They had been with Jesus. Can people tell that you and I have been with Jesus? That's the goal of a disciple. What must we do if we would move toward the goal of discipleship? We must, in the first place, learn to think the way Christ thought. Philippians 2:5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have his attitude, have his mind. We must learn to love the way Christ loved. John 13:34-35, what does God want from me? He wants me to think the way Christ thought, to love the way Christ loved, to forgive as Christ forgave, Colossians 2:13. If you're going to forgive anybody, as God in Christ forgave you, you also must forgive one another. We must endure as Christ endured, Hebrews 12, verses 2-4. That is, Jesus endured temptation, he endured suffering, he endured struggles, and he kept on faithfully serving and pleasing and loving his God. If I want to be like my teacher, I must learn to endure as Christ endured. I must learn to obey as Christ obeyed. Jesus obeyed God. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, Hebrews 5, verses 8-9. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. If I would be a disciple of Jesus, I must pray as Christ prayed. You know how Jesus prayed? Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but yours be done. Matthew 26:39. God, may your will be done. A disciple's not above his teacher. You're not going to outdo Jesus in any area. What we want as disciples is we want to be perfectly trained. We want to think and to love and to forgive and endure and obey and pray the way Jesus did. And in doing those things, we're becoming more like the Son of God. We're becoming more like our Savior. We're disciples. Tonight, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you put on Christ in baptism? Have you obeyed the gospel as revealed in the scriptures? If not, you have an opportunity right now to do just that. Maybe you need to respond, you need to ask for prayers. Whatever your need tonight, won't you make your need known publicly while together we stand and while we sing?